message I feel like the Lord has inspired me with that I trust will be an encouragement to you. Isaiah 26 and verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Want to speak a little while here this morning about walls of salvation. We have every year in our nation, in January, I believe it is, a time that's set up, that's prescribed even by the Constitution, that we have a time that the President, the Commander-in-Chief, will give a State of the Union, an address on the condition of the nation, on the condition, the affairs of the economy, and foreign affairs, and so forth, give a state of the affairs of the nation, to the nation. Well, you know, I want to tell us a little bit here about the state of the city. You know, we still have a strong city. We look out and we see, no doubt we have all through this year, and we hear the news and we see the things that are unfolding right before our eyes in this nation. And sometimes we look on it and think, I don't even recognize this nation. I hardly recognize what we have become as a nation. The depth that we've slid into and the speed with which we've done so. But I want to remind us this morning, we still have a strong city. The strength of this city is not dependent on the condition of the world around us, because it's not built by man. It's built by God Himself. He's built a city. He's erected walls around it. We have in the political discourse right now in our nation talk about building a wall. Building a wall on the southern border of the United States, there's a recognition or an admission by some that say we've got a problem. And not interested in political opinions this morning, but they're saying that we have a problem with people that are coming into our nation. And there's some in particular saying it's not just the most law-abiding and congenial folks that are coming over. They're breaking our laws and they're entering our nation with many times malicious intent on their hearts and their minds. So let's build a wall. Well, perhaps there's some merit in that. You know, a wall that's built on the southern border can only do so much. It can only go so high. It can only protect so far. There are waterways and tunnels and airways and all, but you know this morning that there is a strong city. There are walls that God has built that is designed to be a protection for us. And they've not been compromised. Jesus said of this city, or of His church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates, the word prevail means to overcome. To be able to gain the upper hand of. There is a battle. I know that we feel the battle. We feel the lateness of the hour that we're in. There is a battle between darkness and light, evil and good. It's always been, but it seems like so much more. The intensity of the battle, it seems like, that's raging around us in our world. But the gates of hell, though the gates of hell should be unleashed, though they should be opened up and the enemy unleash everything that he can, that the Lord allows him, every foul and unclean spirit in our world, it will not prevail against the walls of this city. It will not be able to breach a compromise into the walls of the city, because we have a strong city. And the State of the Union, or the state of the city this morning, is that she's still strong. The walls are still standing if we'll abide within the walls of this city. At work, I'm part of a compliance team that tries to maintain compliance of our business and the different threats that would try to come up against our business. And there are many. There are those that would like to be able to steal what we hear on a personal level about identity theft. About those that, and it's gotten so commonplace, that those that would try to steal your social security number or a credit card number or something that's valuable to be able to get in and open accounts and cause all kinds of damage. Well, that's widespread on a personal level. And on a corporate level as well, there are many, many people that are trying to be able to get into the networks of these companies. And I'm speaking here more of a cyber warfare, as they call it. They're trying to be able to find an opening in what is called the firewall, the protection that they put up in the network or the systems that it safeguards your emails and proprietary information of a company, those drawings and things that are secret to a company that makes the company valuable. Trying to safeguard that. Because there is a recognition that there are many that would love to be able to get their hands on it. There are many that would like to be able to try to penetrate and to steal that and maybe go sell it to other companies and gain money from it. So what are the ways that company has been trying to educate the employees on? You heard of phishing, not F-I-S-H-I-N-G, but P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Phishing, it's an attempt by those that would send an email or would send a text message or something with a link that says, click here. It would say, maybe, here's an attachment from me, your coworker that you've not met yet. And I want you to click on this attachment and open it. It's a file that you need to review for this meeting that you didn't know that you had tomorrow. And it's very elaborate attempts many times to try to find a vulnerability. To try to find someone that thinks, oh, well, I need to click on this. And you click on the link and it takes you to someplace that diverts you, and they're able to install. And I'm reaching the limits of my IT expertise here. But they're able then to be able to penetrate the firewall and to be able to get in and plant something where they can start extracting information from the network. And so I heard a statistic by those that are in the IT department, information technology, that are trying to protect all that. They said in any given day, there are 30,000 malicious attempts at our network. You know, it was hard for me to comprehend 30,000 attempts by someone trying. Someone sending something with the hopes that somebody's going to click this. It'll get through and I'll be able to plant this and I'll be able to gain insurance. If it doesn't work 10,000 times, maybe the 11,000th time will work. They are persistent. They are determined. And many times they are successful. But you know, we face an enemy that's much more malicious and much more determined. We face an enemy that, the song number 302 says, my soul be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise and hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. 10,000 foes. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that there are that many spirits, that many ways that the enemy would try to come against us? Lord, help us that our eyes be open a little more to realize the warfare that we're in, the battle that we're engaged in now, all the many tactics and things that the enemy is trying to employ, almost yet to such a more dangerous measure. Like those that are fishing. Those that are trying 30,000 times a day. Maybe one of these will work. And they change their tactics. They've changed the way. There was a time that maybe your email would say you won $100 million. Click here. And after a while, people started catching on. I didn't win $100 million. I'm not going to open that. But you know, they begin to get more subtle with it. They begin to adjust their approach. They begin to go about it in a way that seemed to be more legitimate. You know, the enemy is the same enemy, but he changes his approach as well. The enemy changes his tactics. He comes up with so many new methods to be able to convey his evil and his agenda. Lord, help us to be on our guard. Lord, help us that the walls of this city, the walls of my salvation would be strong. I'd like to look at the 91st Psalm. Psalms 91, beginning at the first verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thine habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shall thou trample under feet. Very familiar psalm, and I hope we draw encouragement from it this morning. There is a place that I can dwell in the shadow, the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. The place where the Lord has covered us with His feathers, where He's protected us. They said that I will keep thee from the snare of the fowler. The fowler is that which would try to ensnare. And you just think of, by the very nature of a snare. It's that which is designed to be disguised, not obvious. It's designed to be something that's subtle, that's hidden, that before you know it, before you realize it, you're caught up in it and you're carried away and you're caught and you're ensnared. You know, we have a promise here. It says, I'll keep you from the snare of the fowler. You know, we can get discouraged sometimes, and the enemy's brought the thoughts to me before. You look around at those that have fallen. You look around at stories of failure. You look at the way the enemy is fighting so hard now. And the enemy's right there to say, who do you think you are? How do you think that you're going to be able to stand against me? In the years that you have ahead of me, I've got something for you. You know the enemy does have something for us. But he remembers thinking of the story in Kings, it's accounted. I'm trying to remember didn't write it down or look it up. It's just coming to my mind of the enemy that came up against God's people, and he said, don't listen. Was it Hezekiah maybe? Don't listen to what he has to say to you. If he says, put your trust in the Lord your God, don't listen to him. I'm paraphrasing it. He talked about how all the gods of the other nations around you, they failed. They fell before us. There is no man that's able to stand before us. And so, in essence, what he was doing is they came before the city. They were trying to conquer the city without firing a shot or firing an arrow or trying to batter the wall. They wanted to come up without even having to scale the walls and say, you know, you're defeated. You know, that's sometimes half of our battle, is the enemy attacking on the onslaught of the mind. By discouragement, by trying to hinder our courage and our faith and our determination, you know it's a lost cause. You know, just look around. I have the upper hand here. But you know, today we can take courage to know that I am not of this world. Satan, I am not of your kingdom. I'm not a part of your kingdom. You may be the prince of this world, but you're not my prince. You don't have the rule and the authority over me. I belong to another. I belong to another city that you don't have permission to gain entrance into. The snare of the fowler. He that would try in some way. Believe God spoke unto Cain, it was, and said, sin lieth at the door. Sin is right there before every one of us. And the wording there, it likens it unto a crouching lion. There's only so much that he can do. Do you know there's only so far the enemy can go? And it is but the mercy and the grace of God that keeps any one of us from being devoured by the enemy. I believe that. I don't believe that any one of us are a match for the enemy. I believe if we were to stand in our own strength, we'd be swept off our feet so quickly. But by the mercy of God, but by the walls of salvation, where the Lord says, you cannot go past this point. Didn't he do it with Job? He had put a hedge about him. And he had told the enemy, you can only go so far. Aren't you thankful this morning to be able to serve one who can tell the devil what to do? To be able to serve one that can say, Satan, you're going no further. The one that's able to breathe out his threatenings and his roarings and such discouraging pictures that he can paint around us. That's able to say, Satan, stop right there. And he stops in his tracks. Oh, folks, I want to stay within the walls of this city. I want to stay in the hedge of protection that God has for me. That he says, Satan, you can go no further. And as in the case of Job, where he drew in that protection a little bit and said, now you can go this far. But you know, we have a consolation in a scripture that says he will not allow more than what we're able to bear. But he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He'll make a way of escape. He'll not allow the enemy to come in an overwhelming force where there's no way. By his grace, I'll be able to stand. I will deliver. He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from his deceits, debauchery and treachery and all the subtle ways that he's ensnaring. You ever look on and think, folks, what are you thinking? How is it that you can justify the ideas that you have? How is it that you can make laws in such a way and somehow you've so twisted your reasoning that I think now this is good. Now this is worthy of honor. This is worthy of a courage award for a man to try to become so confused and twisted in his mind to think he's now a woman. And we're going to call that courageous. No, folks, have you lost your bearing? Have you lost your reason? You know, there is a fowler that's laid snares. There is a fowler that's ensnared many people in their thinking, their reasoning, and I want us to realize that we're no exception on our own. We can look at that and think, I would never. I'm disgusted. I'm repulsed by that. But oh, how vulnerable people are. How vulnerable we are when we step outside of the order of the Lord. Whenever I think I want to go another way, I want to try my own way. And all our young people that are now saying, I think I want to go out and experiment with sin. I don't believe they have any idea. I don't believe they have any idea of the forces and the powers that are out there. I think I can get out there and just sample it a little bit. I'll draw my own walls. I'll draw my own borders that saying you're not going to get in. You're not going to take from me any more than this. You know, we don't have that kind of authority. We don't have that kind of power to say, Satan, you go no further than this. But by the protection of the Lord God in the walls of salvation, he shall give his angels charge over thee. You ever think about that? There's my son Clint down there. Your responsibility is to keep him. Your responsibility, watch over him, care for him. I don't believe it's talking here about just stubbing a toe. I don't believe he's talking about lest, how does it say, lest thou dash thy foot up against a stone. Certainly the Lord protects us, he keeps us safe. But how much more spiritual protection? How much more over those things that the enemy puts in our way, designed to cause us to stumble and fall and be destroyed? You know, he'll give his angels the charge over us. Keep them in all their ways. Give them understanding. Shine the light on their pathway that they might be able to see. Don't allow them to be destroyed by all the tactics of the enemy. Oh, thank the Lord, there is one that is greater in us than he that's in the world. Scripture says that the angel of the Lord, Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord puts a camp round about. You know, that's a line of defense that the enemy can't cross. That's a line of defense, and whatever it is that he might bring against us, if we put our trust in him, if we depend in him, as is said here in the 91st Psalm, that in him will I trust, in him will I obey, I'll put my eyes, I'll fix my trust and my heart on you, Lord. And I look around as Peter did, and he started looking at the ways, and I realized, Lord, I'm not looking at this world. I'm not looking at the conditions around or the threats of the enemy. Lord, I'm looking at you. I want to keep my eyes upon you. And you know, whenever it seems like the enemy is coming in on both flanks, and our temptation is to look and be distracted and be frightened and terrified and think, surely this is the end. Oh, woe is us. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. As Scripture says, He is our rearward. He's the protection behind us. He's the protection on both sides of us, and He goes before us. What do we have to fear? If the Lord be for us, then who can be against us? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about us. Remember what the vision was as they... Is it Elijah saw the enemy surrounding them, Elisha? The enemy was surrounded on all hands, 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, if you'd like to read it. They had surrounded in the valley around the city, and Elisha's servant, he arose and he went and he looked out and he felt, no doubt, like all of us would feel. Oh, what is this? It's over now. We might as well fly the white flag. There's no hope in this situation. There's no hope in a world like this. Oh, thank the Lord, there's still hope. There's still victory in the midst of this world. Not if you look at our own strength against the strength of the enemy. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Oh, there are those that trust in chariots and those that trust in horses. But I'll put my trust in the Lord God. I'm going to put my trust, Lord, you fight this battle. I realize I don't have the strength, and I look at the flood of our world today of immorality and think I can't stand against that and affect any change in our world. But the Lord is looking for those that will put His trust, their trust in Him. Let me be your walls about you. Let me keep you and preserve you. You be faithful and the Lord can do much more with us than what we could ever do ourselves. Because then Elisha prayed and he said, oh Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open our eyes in 2015 to see that the mountains around them were surrounded by the angels that Psalms 34 spoke about. They were filled with chariots and horses of fire. Oh, it changed the picture completely, didn't it? It changed the entire situation. It tipped the balance of the battle right there. Whenever it looked like it was hopelessly tipped in this direction against and defeat, whenever I consider the one that is fighting for me in my battles, in my life, in my struggles, whenever I would look at it and begin to start looking at it in temporal ways or in my own strength, Lord, help me to look back to you. Lord, help me to put my trust in you. You built some walls around me. I'm going to trust in that. I'm going to depend upon the strength of it. The Lord is able to fight our battles for us. I want to look at a few more scriptures in Psalms. Psalms 25. I want to get a little bit of the sense that David had. Psalms 25 and 19. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Lord, consider my enemies. Lord, look upon them, for they are many. 10,000 foes arise. 30,000 attempts to be able to get in a day in a corporate network. How many spirits? How many temptations? How many thoughts would the enemy try to bombard us with? Lord, consider the enemies that I have. One place David said, Lord, for my love, they are my adversaries. They're trying to steal my love. They're trying to divide my heart. 56th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 56 in the first verse. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O Thou Most High, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Though they are many that are against me, Lord, I'm putting my trust in You. My dependence and my faith and my trust in One that's able to keep my foot from stumbling. It's able to keep me from falling and from being overwhelmed and flooded by the flood of this world and from the gates of hell. There's One that's able to keep us. I want to look in the 20th chapter of Genesis. I want to look at the account of Abraham and Sarah as they went. 20th chapter, first verse. Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and journeyed into Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. We often think of this story on Abraham's behalf, but I want to consider Abimelech. You know Abimelech, and maybe you don't know just a whole lot about it, but Abimelech was one that he walked in the integrity of his heart. And his prayer to the Lord and the Lord's acknowledgement was to him is that I realize the integrity of your heart. I know that your heart is not to sin against me. I know that that's not the purpose. You remember what we read? He'll keep us from the snare of the fowler. Even that which I don't realize that maybe in my life that I would start going in a direction that I don't realize the danger that's there. I don't realize the snare that's laid out before me. The Lord knows my heart. Lord, my heart is perfect. And may that be our prayer. Lord, keep my heart perfect before You. Oh, it's the importance of guarding our heart. Don't allow your heart to start going out after the world, because many times that's where the fall happens. That's where the failure, that's where the backsliding and the sin takes place. You know, it's not because someone that's walking in perfect love towards the Lord encountered something one day that was just too great for them. Encountered something and I didn't see it coming and I wasn't prepared and I couldn't stand and I sinned before I knew it and I was swept away and I'm lost now. You know, that's not the way it happens. The Lord has a way of preserving us. The Lord has a way of keeping us in our way. But the danger is, whenever our heart starts to go out after the things of this world, and maybe I can make excuses and maybe I can try to justify myself and maybe I can just walk along the rooftop of my house as David did. And there's something in my heart. There's something that inclines my heart towards evil. That whenever temptation is there, my heart is not perfect towards the Lord. There's something there that the enemy now is working with and he's trying to draw me with. That I get in the side. Remember the foolish man. This didn't happen to the foolish man in Proverbs 7. That was walking by the corner of the woman, of the harlot. Walking down the street and the wise man was watching out his casement and he beheld it all. He looked as this foolish man walked straight towards the jaws of the trap. Walked right into the path of temptation. Allowed himself to walk as his heart was already inclined there. And he went there and sure enough, as the enemy's faithful to do, in the dark stillness of the night, there met him a harlot. Oh, the enemy has something for every one of us. The enemy has something in the shadows if we incline our hearts out of the way of truth and righteousness and purity. If I begin to stray out of the pathway of the just, which is as a shining light. You know, the light of the Word of God is able to illuminate our pathway. It's able to dispel the shadows, those things where the enemy would try to lurk. You know, if we're walking in the light of God, there's not a place for the enemy to be able to lurk right in front of me. I'm able to see the path that I'm walking on. But the pathway of the wicked, it says it's as night. They know not at what they grope and stumble. They don't know what they're falling at. They don't know what's right before them. They're just groping along. Thank the Lord that He has a better way for us. If we keep our hearts perfect towards the Lord, guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Maintain the walls of salvation. That is the essence of it. Keep your heart. Keep your experience of salvation. Maintain it. Keep it strong. Keep the walls up to date and maintained and repaired and strong against the enemy of our souls. Because then whenever I find myself, Abimelech here was in a place perhaps even closer to temptation than what David was. But Abimelech's heart was right before God. His desires were right and the Lord saw that. And He said, I'm going to keep him from sinning against me. I'm going to preserve him in his way. I'm not going to allow this to overtake him without realizing it in the integrity of his heart, what the snare was that was laid right before him. So even in a dream, in a visitation to Abimelech, don't go this way. You know, there is a voice that will go behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. No, stay out of this way. There's something ahead of you that you didn't see there. Oh, thank the Lord for that still small voice that's able to turn us and redirect us before I sin against the Lord. Before I fall into a place that the things of this world overtake me and overwhelm me and suppress me. It is the saving and keeping power of salvation. Mighty to save, we sing, mighty to save and mighty to keep. He's able to keep us in this darkest hour. He's able to keep us in this trying time. If we keep our hearts perfect towards Him and put our trust in Him, keep our hearts wholly fixed on Him. Folks, it doesn't matter what comes in our world. Yes, we're burdened and we're grieved and it will affect us to an extent. By the sin and the corruption that's around us, Elijah too. Whenever drought came on the land because of the sin of Ahab and Jezebel, he too suffered because of it. He too experienced the consequences of it because he was in that land. We too may have some consequences that we experience. But you know, there's one that will keep us through it all. There's one that met and walked with Elijah and he prepared a brook for him. He prepared food for him. He sent meals. One place there, he laid down and he woke up to a hot fire there prepared and ready for him. You know, the Lord is able to keep His people in this evil time. Folks, whether we live for the Lord or whether we don't, hardship's coming on this nation. Hardship is coming on this world and the darkness, I'm afraid, is only becoming darker and darker. You know, we're going to be experiencing and surrounded by it, whether I live for the Lord or not. Oh, I'd far rather be in the protection of the Lord. I'd far rather be able to have some boundaries that the enemy has been told you can't go past here. You're not able to touch this one. It was Jesus' prayer. Father, I don't pray that you take him out of this world. And I'll have to confess, this last week I read in the news, I don't even want to give the enemy much credit in talking too much about it. It's kind of the scripture that says it's not even good to talk about those things that are done in secret. But a breach of a website where data was sent out, and I read the news article and I was astonished by the website. I was astonished by what's there. I knew that corruption and evil was there, but by the extent of darkness, by the ways that the enemy is trying to work, and it's a site of adultery that encourages that, that promotes that, that tries to make that happen. And I read in the news article that there are 30 million users. The Lord have mercy on us. Where are we? And I thought of the Bible study we had Wednesday night. The perilous times that we're in. I thought, Lord, this is where we're at. These folks have lost their way. They've lost their concept of integrity and morality and cleanness and purity, and have to go through life trying to hide things. Folks, there is a way that we can live that I don't have to be afraid. If somebody breaks in and they steal data from a site like that, you know the Lord has a way of uncovering things. The Lord has a way of bringing things out into the light. Oh, how wonderful it is to be able to abide in the city, though. Be able to be in the walls of protection where the evil influences. Yes, I'm tempted. Yes, I face temptations of the world around me, but I can live in a place that the enemy doesn't have to touch me. And I can walk in integrity before the Lord in purity and holiness of heart. But I have to tell you, I read all that. I had to get up and walk. I thought, Lord, take me out of here. Lord, what is left of this world? You know, that wasn't the Lord's prayer. I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. That is the testimony of the power of God. It is the power of salvation that works through us to be able to show the world. You know, somebody that looks on things like that and says, see, there were people professing to be Christians and they're found out about it. There's nothing to this. There's nothing to a name of religion. But folks, the power of salvation that's able to keep us from this evil time, that's able to let a holy life, the song says, tell the gospel story. Let that be the witness. Let that be the testimony. Yes, there is still a way. Yes, you can still keep your heart in purity and integrity before God, to live blameless before God and man still in this present evil world. What does the scripture say that the grace of God has done for us? It's appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live godly, sober, righteous, right in this present time. Right? It's as relevant as it gets. In this day and age, with the technologies, with the evil, with the conditions of our world today, the grace of God is still appearing unto everyone that's willing to seek for it. To everyone that's willing to be surrounded by these walls of salvation, you pray for me that I might abide in that secret place in the Almighty. Amen.